Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 29th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is our celebration of Palm Passion Sunday. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here at the beginning of Holy Week, a week of prayer and meditation. A week where we walk along with Jesus. We follow him from this day's celebration of palms and shouts of Hosanna. And day over day, amidst his teaching and preaching, as the mood shifts and the light dims to the point of his death on a Friday afternoon, it's a solemn and holy week. And we're blessed to participate in it. So let's begin by doing what we do around the podcast here. We begin in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we start that thanksgiving with a big, deep breath. Take in that breath. And hold it and savor it. It's the gift of life. And let it go. And take in another big, beautiful breath. And as you hold that breath, as you savor that breath, call to mind the people and the places and the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy. It's all a gift. It all comes from the hand of God Almighty. Maybe open your hands as wide as you can open them. Extend your arms as far as you can. Maybe even turn your face toward the sky and say, thank you. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this week. And in this attitude, in this posture, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We welcome the King who comes in humility and peace. Crowds once waved palms and shouted praise, yet soon their cries would turn to shouts of crucify. We gather at the gates of joy and sorrow, walking the path from celebration to the cross. Christ comes to us, riding in, steadfast and faithful. We open our hearts to follow wherever he leads. Let us worship the one who reigns in love and sacrifice. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet: "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray and we ask your presence with us in this moment. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of this, your good and living word, through which you are revealed to us, through which we learn about you and the way that you have set before us. And we learn about ourselves, our frailties, and our sin. And so we pray to immerse ourselves in this word so that we might hear from you. But we need some help. We pray, dear God, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction. Bring us to a point of stillness, so that we could hang on every single word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, for today's sermon, it really isn't so much of a sermon as it is the telling of the story as presented in Matthew's gospel. But as I read, I ask you to pay attention to your emotions. I ask you to place yourself in the crowd gathered at the parade of palms that we just heard about. And then consider how it is that mood shifted, how the hearts and the minds of the people seemed to go from this hopeful celebration to darkness and shouts of "Crucify him." How could it be? They loved what Jesus represented to them, the healing and the liberation. The Messiah would come and topple corrupt power. And instead, they see the one who has been beaten and bruised and appears weak. They see who he actually is, and they make all kinds of assumptions, and they want to be rid of him. It's a powerful story of love and sacrifice, in our need to humble ourselves before God. And rather than sermonize about that today, I pray that you will listen to this story and use it as a catalyst for the week ahead. Holy Week. It's Holy Week if we keep it holy. If we remember the stories, for many among us, it'll just be another week on the calendar. But when we take time and prayerfully consider all that God has done for us, we will find new and deeper relationship with our good God. And so with that, the telling of the Passion of our Lord in Matthew's Gospel. I'll be reading from Matthew, beginning in the 26th chapter at verse 14, all the way through chapter 27 and verse 66. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12 disciples. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When he had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away for the second time and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him. At once he came up to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you are here to do. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a rebel? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter, following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how it would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said, Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you? But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you? Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, you also were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you're talking about. When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him and said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of the Nazarene. Again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, I do not know the man. At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, is it not lawful to put them into the treasury since they are blood money? After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? All of them said, Let him be crucified. Then he asked, Why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and our children. So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him, took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, I am God's son. The rebels who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until it was 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, This man is calling for Elijah. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus, then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, I command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Gracious God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we call to you and we pray. We seek to draw near you as we walk the road of Holy Week together. As we begin this journey, we begin with confession. God, we name the things before you that distract us from our relationship with you, diminish our love for you, the impulsive words and actions, the unchecked appetites, unbridled ego. We name these things before you. And we humbly ask to receive the promise of our faith that when we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, you forgive us. We pray for that forgiveness right now. Heal us, open our eyes, pick us up, clean us off, and set us on the path of righteousness. Prepare us to walk the days of Holy Week, immersed in the stories of our faith and in prayer, and in acts of kindness and love for our friends, family, and neighbors. And God, we pray over this, your good world. Bring your peace and your reconciliation and your justice. Help us to deeply consider everything that Jesus has done for us, so that we might go out and seek to save the world in his name. We ask your blessings upon people in positions of power and authority, people in positions of influence, who can move the mechanisms of commerce and politics, that they could be used for your good and according to your will and your way. We pray for friends and neighbors, the strangers that we pass on the street, that we could see them through your eyes, that we might radiate with your love, that a goodness would well up from within us, that we would be agents of grace and peace, truly disciples of our Lord Jesus. And you know us, O God, you know our hearts, and you know the things that are going on in our lives, the joyful things, the things we celebrate, and the things that can be so hard. Heal them all, dear God. Bring your perspective into all things, into the ways of daily living. And you know that so many of us keep prayer lists. We write all of these joys and concerns down. And if we don't write them down, we carry them in our hearts and minds. And so we take a moment to be silent in your presence, to share these lists with you, and to trust that you will consider every word and bless us with your healing touch. Meet us in this peaceful moment, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate these gifts, especially in the week ahead. And we take a moment, God, to celebrate a prayer that Jesus taught us. We pray that you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a commitment among ourselves to keep this week holy, to make time for the stories of this final week of our Lord Jesus, that we would take them into heart and to mind, meditate on them, pray over them, allow them to inspire us and give us hope, because a new day is coming, a celebration that will begin early in the morning on the first day of the week. A day that is a beautiful gift from our God. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and calls you to observe a holy week. Go in peace. Amen.